Hello, my friend. This is John Nieder, and I thought I'd take just a moment to introduce this message that follows. It's entitled The True Meaning of Love. I delivered this message to a group of singles in the Dallas area. After completing the message, I realized that this is the kind of message that we as parents must be communicating to our young people. That's why we've included it in the six-tape series, Teaching Children God's View of Sex. If you're a mom or a dad or a Christian youth worker, if you're in a position where you're impacting young people, these concepts are what we must drill into their thinking. The world would like to equate lust and love. The Word of God doesn't do that. No, they must understand that when God speaks of love, it's a very special, superior kind of love. We've got to encourage them and look forward to experiencing that kind of love in a Christian marriage. I hope the message has a ministry in your life. Let me know if there's anything we can do to help you as you try to teach your children God's view of sex. What does it mean to fall in love? Do you fall in love? If so, how does it happen? If you fall in love, is there a chance you might break your leg? Is a big bottomless pit called love? What is it? Any volunteers? Do we fall in love? And if so, what is it like? Do we fall in love? I'm not asking you if you have. I wouldn't do that to you. But do we fall in love? What do you think?
Yes.
Would you care to elaborate? How might this happen?
By accident, definitely.
By accident. Anybody here has had an accident recently, would like to admit they have fallen in love? Let's see. Do we have more cord there? Am I okay? Let's ask a guy. Do we fall in love? Now, here's what guys might be in love. Are you in love? No. I hope you didn't offend either of these lovely ladies next to you. Do you think we fall in love? Do we fall in love?
Yes.
Okay, well, what is the dynamic? How does it happen? You know, what does it feel like? What does it look like? We got a lot of people here who want to fall in love, so they're going to hang on every word you have to say. Go.
Well, I imagine it's pretty different for everyone has some different experience.
Different experience? All right, I maybe agree with that. Everybody agree with that? Is it different for different people? Don't be so dogmatic. What is it like? I mean, we're saying now that we fall in love, then there are certain feelings. Maybe it's different for different people. You're getting nervous over here. Here he comes. I just have a sneaky suspicion that you know the answer to this. And you're holding back on us. Now, there are people hanging right in the back there. They just can't wait to hear your analysis of this.
Well, I feel like it's something you have to work at and you have to spend time in. You fall in love, but it's over a time process. It happens from day to day and time to time as you spend time with this person that you share a mutual understanding with.
But see, the word fall to me means there it is. Kind of hits. I mean, when you fall, you don't fall nice and slow. Look at this process of falling. You fall. But you're saying it's a process. Which one do you want? I don't think you can have both.
Then you have to answer the question, what is it?
Now he's asking me questions. That's the way they're asking me questions. Let me give you my position for what it's worth. I think it reflects biblical truth. I believe that love is not a state or a condition. It is not something we fall into. It's not some wonderful disease everyone wants to catch. No, I believe that love is, as you said, a process. A developing process, a process of growth, a process of maturing. It doesn't happen instantaneously. Although some of the dynamics might take place at a point in time, from that point on there is growth. But there you are, you're single. Many of you, most of you are interested in being married. You're dating. You're wondering about what is love, how does it work, what does it look like, what does it feel like, how do emotions play in this. What does God have to say? How many of you are familiar with the three Greek terms used for love, all translated love? How many of you familiar with those? Not everyone. Whenever you see the word love in the Word of God, you have to recognize there are three possible terms behind it. There is eros, phileia, and agape. And when they were translating the Bible, whenever they would find one of these words, in this case, eros is not found in the Bible, it is found in classical literature, Greek literature, whenever they would translate one of those words, we would have the English word love. Now, face it, love to us has so many different ramifications. I mean, do you love your dog? Do you have a little pet there, a little poochie there in your apartment? And you love that dog, don't you? No, certainly you love your dog, but now you're dating a guy. And you say, hey, I love him too. Now, maybe there's a resemblance, but I don't think it's the same kind of love. I love my wife differently than I love my children. I love you as a brother and sister in Christ differently than I love my wife. But yet in English, all we have is that word, love. And it is being absolutely decimated in our day. I believe that for the Christian who is trying to determine whether or not they're truly in love, whether or not they are to be married to this person, as you try to evaluate that, the key is understanding a progressive growth pattern in which you may begin with eros, you may go through phileo love, but ultimately you find yourself hitting agape love. It is a growth pattern. So what are they? Let's begin with eros. Eros, again, is not found in the Word of God, not one time. It is found in classical Greek literature. The word eros means that I love you because you make me happy. I love you because there's something about you that satisfies me. It is a self-centered love. It's 100% me and 0% you. That's eros. That's where we get our term erotic. It is a sexual love. It is a love that wants self-gratification without a concern for the other person. Eros. Now, eros, if you think about it, has some awful heavy emotions. Passion. Romance. Eros love. Now, I would like to be very candid with you about eros love, because I think you're being bombarded with it in your world. There are a number of dangers with eros love. First and foremost, one of the biggest dangers is you're going to think it's real love. You're going to think it's real love. There's something in another person that is like a magnet. You're drawn to that person. First and foremost is physical attraction. Now, that's natural, and there is nothing wrong with that. But if your relationship begins there and stays there, you're going to find yourself disenchanted before too long. The danger of eros love is that you might think it's the real thing. It's not. Now, let me speak as a man from observation, personal experience. I'm going to give you some generalizations. You don't have to wear these, men, if you don't want to. But I think most men, if they're honest, will fit into the same category I'm discussing. Men, we tend to function at the level of eros love. Now, I think it's part of our design. It's part of the way God made us. I think God made a man to be more the pursuer, the aggressor. If you know the studies that are being done of left brain, right brain, maybe you've heard these. I do think there is biblical truth that indicates there may be some real validity to those. That men function out of one side of their brain because of the way God made us, so that we tend to be task-oriented, we tend to be driven. Relationships are difficult for a typical man. Now, a woman, on the other hand, she has another component in her brain that's working better, and she can relate emotionally. Women know how to relate. They enjoy relating. And although they have physical attraction for a man, it is not primary. They begin with a relationship and move to sex. A man begins with sex and then will take the relationship. We are eros-oriented, gentlemen, for the most part. Now, I'm looking back at my own experience as a single person. I have to tell you categorically that I had to work awfully hard to get beyond just the level of physical attraction. The sex drive in a man is absolutely incredible. Admit it, ladies, you need to understand it. It is hard for a man to ever get to the point where he is looking at you as anything other than an object that can fulfill his desires. It is hard. I am talking a Christian man who wants to honor Jesus Christ, who loves Jesus Christ, who wants to have a godly relationship. His world, though, bombards him with visual input that drives him absolutely crazy. And he sees you, a sweet girl, that maybe the two of you could develop a good relationship, and that guy's going to struggle like crazy, not focusing primarily on your sexual attractiveness. He is going to battle that. So please know that. Let me tell you what the situation is, I think, ladies. and maybe you've experienced this, you probably have. After a while, you start to wonder, can a guy ever love me for anything other than the physical? That's hard. Because, again, it's an attraction. It's Eros love. It's infantile. But we so desire to fulfill our own lusts that oftentimes we don't get beyond that. Hey, I think we want to. I think we're well-intended. But I don't think we have dealt with the situation properly. We haven't come to understand that there are greater levels of love in which the erotic has its proper place. But it's sanctified by agape love. Sanctified. It's set apart. It's made special. It's not 100% me, 0% you. Eros love. Now, here's one of the dangers of Eros love, and I think you need to know it, because some of you have been hurt by it. Eros love means that there's something about you that attracts me, that satisfies me, and therefore our relationship is built on that. Obviously, that doesn't last. But here's something else you're going to find out. You're going to find that if a relationship is built on Eros love, physical attraction, the moment that desire is satisfied, that desire for self, the pursuit of fulfilling one's own lust and desires, the moment that that is satisfied, you'll find alienation in the relationship. If you have had a sexual relationship with another person, especially ladies, you've experienced this, if you have had a sexual relationship with a man who for the longest while was so romantic, I mean, he just did everything for you. Open the door. Oh, man, he just so kind and take you to dinner. But after a while, because of the attraction, you eventually gave in. You had a sexual relationship. What happened afterward? Think about it. I mean, I know it hurts to think about it, but think about what happened. He wasn't the same, was he? No. And he won't be. I happen to believe that if you don't deal with this area, and recognize that the Lordship of Christ must come into play in your lives, that if you give in to the desire and you allow yourself to experience Eros love apart from any other real, sincere love, if you experience Eros, you might not ever, with that person at least, experience Philea love and certainly agape love. I have had, especially women, who have asked me for counsel. And it was about a relationship. And would say, hey, you know, I can't understand what's going on. And the lady, would share what had happened. Hey, here's what happened. Everything was going along real well. We were talking about getting married and everything. In fact, we were going to set a date. And he's going to give me an engagement ring at Christmas. And it looked like we'd be married in June. And then he just changed. He just got strange. He doesn't seem to care anymore. And I don't know what to do. I'd ask some questions. And then feeling very uncomfortable, but knowing I had to get to this issue, I would stop and say, in the last couple of weeks, did you have sex? I haven't had one time yet that the girl said no. And then I would stop and say, that's the problem. You have allowed Eros love to destroy your relationship. Do you realize what happens when you allow Eros love to go untapped? Gentlemen, you know it's wrong, all right? You know Jesus Christ, and you know he says wait until marriage. You got this wonderful gift to realize in marriage, but you have incredible desires, and you're going to fight that. The Holy Spirit's there telling you this is Eros love, and it's not what it should be, and don't do it, but you keep pursuing it. So you're fighting the Holy Spirit of God within you who's saying no, and you keep fighting it, and after a while you don't care, and then she gives in because she wants to be loved, and then finally the two of you end up in bed, and you walk away feeling cheap. You do, and you know it. Why? Because you have given in to a superficial form of love. Eros. And once you are satisfied, you will feel alienated in the relationship. Why? Because the relationship was built on physical attraction and really nothing else. Ah, whatever you do, please don't break your own hearts with Eros love. And I know some of you have already broken your heart with Eros love. You so desire to be loved that some expression that's supposed to be love you're willing to accept. Please, whatever you do, realize that, all right, physical attraction might be the starting point of a relationship. You see someone and you say, hey, that's a good-looking gal. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you stop and say, that's a good-looking gal, and you say that for about 2-3 hours, that's lust. There's a line you cross over that the Holy Spirit's going to tell you when you're crossing over that line. There's nothing wrong with having an attraction for a person because of their looks and their personality. That can be the starting point of the relationship. But if you allow that to rule the relationship, it will never grow, and you'll never know whether or not you can have a marriage relationship that'll last forever. You won't know. A lot of people get married based on Eros. Here's a problem, though. If you go with Eros love, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Temporarily, once your desires are satisfied, you don't care about the relationship anymore. You've had a certain need and you met. So who cares after that? That's why some people will walk away from a relationship they've been developing for months, even years. So you're not given anything, you're just taken. And once you've taken all that that person has to give, you walk away. And that person stays there, giving everything they've got, and knowing they've lost the person they thought they had. That's what Eros has to promise. Now, a big question for you, before we look at these others, is how do you determine whether or not the relationship you have is an Eros relationship? If you're in a dating relationship right now, I want to encourage you to stop and say, hey, is this just Eros? Because if it is, you got dangers. Now, how do you determine that? How do you know whether it's Eros? I think if you find yourself in a dating relationship and all you find yourself doing is putting hands on each other, can't keep your hands off each other, no matter where you go, hands are on each other, she's in the back seat, but you got your hands on her, you're driving the car, too. That's the bad part about it. Hey, I'm not saying that you don't have the desire. Again, I'm not discounting your desire. What I'm saying, though, is that if you allow that to become overwhelming, and it easily can be, if you allow that to become overwhelming, then you find yourself every time you're together, you know, you got to have your hands on each other, and you're walking around going, oh, I'm going to fight this all night, and you tempt yourself beyond measure, and that might be all that you have, is Eros love. It's not going to last. Not only will it not last, but it could destroy any real growth in a love relationship that could last. Please note that well. But then there's phileo love. Phileo love, that's the love of a total person. That's friendship. It's companionship. It's camaraderie. By the way, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 while we're looking at this, and I want to show you one thing I think that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us about Eros love. And then some of the elements of phileo love. But more than anything else, it talks about agape love. Now, in 1 Corinthians 13, each of these terms talks about what agape love is. But here's what I want you to note, remembering Eros love. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 4. Agape love is patient. Agape love is kind, and it's not jealous. Agape love does not brag and is not arrogant. Agape love does not act unbecomingly. Now note this next one in light of Eros love. Agape love does not seek its own. Does not seek its own. Eros love, 100% self. Zero giving. But if you now take the next step up toward agape love, but not yet there, you have phileo love. That's 50-50. That's where there's something in you that attracts me. Makes me feel good about myself. And I'm willing to accept that in the relationship. It may be your job, it may be your attractiveness physically, but in turn, I do give back to the relationship. It's 50-50. We're sharing. Hey, we enjoy being together. Intellectually, hey, we're compatible. We have hobbies we like to do together, places we like to go, we like to talk. Hey, that's all great, but it is phileo love. And I think for those of you who are looking ahead to being married, you need a heavy dose of phileo love, friendship love. This term is found throughout the Word of God, but for the most part, agape overrules it. But where you see this, it's the love of friends. You remember back to the conversation in John chapter 21. Jesus Christ is now resurrected, and he sits down with Peter. Incredible interchange. He looks at Peter, and he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I phileo you. The Lord stops, and he says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter comes back again and says, I phileo love you. And then Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo love me? Peter says, yes. What was Jesus doing? First of all, I think he was countering Peter's three denials by coming back three times. But I think Jesus was doing another thing. I think Jesus was saying, Peter, is it just a give and take relationship with us? You give half and I give half. Is that what our relationship is? Friendship? Is it a convenient relationship, Peter? Is that all there is? It's convenient to the point where when they finally asked you if you knew me, you said no. Is that all the depth we have in this relationship, Peter? 50-50? That's all Peter would give. Appreciated his honesty. What Jesus said is, why not 100%? Why don't you give me all of Peter? 100% focused on me and nothing on you. Won't you love me that way? This is what you're trying to do. You're trying to move from a self-centered eros love through a stage of philia friendship love, where it might be 50-50, to a point where you begin to be so giving, each of you, to the relationship, you have true agape love. Think of a little baby. It's interesting. When they're first born, what happens is this. They get there, and you've got to take care of them. I mean, it's one way, all the way. They have nothing to give back but dirty diapers and late nights. That's all they're going to give to you. And you just pour it on. What is that for them? It's eros love. They're just taking it. Take care of me. Just me. What is really fascinating is they get a little bit older, especially for a dad. It's taken me a long time to really come to grips with being a father. Boy, I love it, but a long time for me to understand this. Now, as they get older, we become friends. I'm still giving and giving to the relationship as I should, but they're coming back and they're starting to give love back. And it's fun. But listen to this. Last night they were praying, and I was in the other room going over my notes and things, and little Katie said, Jesus, thank you that we have a preacher who's our daddy. That's what she said. Isn't that cute? She's never heard me preach, or she might not pray that way. But I thought, isn't that neat? And I'll tell you, I was just higher than a kite, and Terry told me, and earlier that day, they had both said that they were going to enter a contest at Skaggs, Dad. We're going to get in that contest at Skaggs where you draw a picture, you know, and then you color it. We're going to win, Dad. I said, hey, great, you know, encourage them to do it. And Katie said, Dad, I'm going to draw a Bible. And little JT said, well, I'm going to draw a preacher. I thought, oh, man, it just picked me up. It really did. But see, now we're getting to kind of a fillet of love in one sense. They're starting to give back. Someday, they'll step over and go beyond it. And even though Dad has his problems and his struggles and maybe has nothing to return to them at some point in life, they're still going to love Dad. But fillet of love, there's a danger. There is a danger to friendship love. Namely, it's not all that it can be. And when stress comes in a relationship, if all you have is friendship based upon compatibility, which is good, but if that's all that you have, when stress comes in a relationship, it might not last, the relationship. Now, you want some stress in a relationship. Number one, you get married. That'll stress out your relationship, I can guarantee it. You get married, you have just entered into a crisis mode. It's a wonderful crisis. I highly recommend it. I think it'll do you a world of good with the right person. But it's a crisis. And then shortly after you get married, have children. And you suddenly find out that all that fun that you had together because you're so compatible, all the things you did together, you don't have time to do together. Last night, I did not sleep with my wife. And I'm just talking about being in the same bed. Because she's in with Katie. Because Katie's got a hack and cough. You wouldn't believe how many nights you're going to have like that. You wouldn't believe the pressure of the financial problems that people are going through right now and what it does to a fillet relationship. You see, we've got some couples in the city of Dallas right now. They have a fillet relationship in their marriage. But the fillet relationship was going well because he could give her anything she wanted, and she said, that's exactly what I want, anything I want. So she had it, and she was happy. He felt better about himself as a man because he was providing. She'd dress up pretty and be a nice decoration he could take around town. But now they're starting to lose these things. They're gone. The pretty house, they're going to lose it. She suddenly has to stop and say, I can't afford that? What do you mean, I can't buy that blouse? Why? Now the friendship's being strained. Philea love might not last through the stress of life. You got to be more than friends. Oh, yeah, 50-50, enjoy the relationship, that's part of marriage. But you got to take another step, an extremely important step, and that is into agape love. By the way, before we look at agape love, let me also point out that philea love, the love of friendship, has some strong emotions attached to it. Emotions, by the way, can cripple you. Because if you follow your emotions, you might find out that there is no reality behind those emotions. That's one of the dangers of Eros love. Because of the attraction, you have such strong emotions associated with them. Now you finally have somebody that really loves you, cares for you, and you feel good about yourself. That's an emotion. We're talking self-image. We're talking about a girl who grew up in a home where she never felt her dad's love, and so she's longing to be loved by a significant man. And that's built into her. That's an emotion. It's a desire. And when a guy finally shows an interest, she responds. The emotions are just flowing. But guess what? It's not right. It's not right. In philia love, there's certain emotions associated with that too. Good emotions. Hey, we just have fun. Every time we're together, we enjoy it. Hey, that's good. But if that's all there is in the relationship, give and take, 50-50, it's not going to cut it for a lifetime. You got to take the next step, agape love. You move from Eros to philia to agape. Agape love does not seek pleasure for itself or himself. You live to please the other person. Agape love, it's 100% giving, expecting nothing in return. Agape love is a decision to love. It is a spirit-produced love. Agape love. Now let me paint a little scenario for you that I think you can relate to of how this works. You've been dating, been out a number of times. You enjoy being together. You have some common interests. You both have a common desire to honor Jesus Christ in your life personally and in any way that the relationship would continue. You want to honor the Lord. That's great. As you go along, you have the normal temptations and desires that you're going to have. And then on one particular night, having dated for a while, you find yourself alone. The relationship begins to progress physically. Now, you have several friends already on birth control pills, in bed with their boyfriend or with their girlfriend. And you're sitting there feeling like the odd one, right? So this particular night, having felt a good relationship with this person, it begins to progress. You both get excited physically, and you continue on. Now, here's what happens. Here's your challenge. This is it. You can decide, as the Spirit of God is stopping you and saying, no, it's wrong right now. You can begin to just ignore what the Holy Spirit says. I believe, gentlemen, if you'll be honest with the Spirit of God. Now, you got to be a Christian, by the way. Let me throw that in because it's extremely important. If you're not a Christian, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God Himself. If you come to Jesus Christ, you've come to Jesus Christ, He lives within you. We're to live a life controlled by the Spirit of God. Every moment of every day, the Spirit of God can tell us what to do. And whenever we encounter a moral decision we're going to make, the Spirit of God is prompting us. He's bringing to bear some of the truth in the Word of God, but He's also kind of a voice whispering in your ear, telling you what God wants you to do. I hope you know what I'm talking about, because apart from this, you're not going to pull it off. He is the power source. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul made a statement that I think you can relate to. The Apostle Paul said, you know, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I detest and don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Who in the world's going to deliver me from the body of this death? That's what Paul says in Romans 7. You related to that when it comes to physical temptation? You sit there saying, I know the good I'm supposed to do, I don't do it. I know I'm not supposed to be involved physically, but I keep on going after it and doing it. And I know it's wrong. And you get mad at yourself and you say, who in the world can help me with this? Paul goes on and he says, who will deliver me? He doesn't say what. He says who. See, it's not a seminar. It's not this group. It's not going to church. It's who. And he goes on in the next chapter and he talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, God within. If you know Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives within you. You can tune His voice out or you can tune it in. But if you tune it in, you'll see yourself move from Eros and philia love to agape love. Here's how it works. You're on a date, and again, you've been dating for a while. You find yourself in a very tempting situation. Gentlemen, you want to, at this stage of the game, you would really like to progress. That top button, you're just ready to turn that top button. And I mean, you got this drive to do that and a desire to do it. And as you're starting to do it, there's a force within you called God the Holy Spirit saying, don't. Now, you can decide at that very moment that I'm going for the button. Or you can decide I'm going to love her as a person. It's not in her best interest. It's not in my best interest. I am going to honor this girl whether she's going to be my wife or not. And I'm going to elevate her above my desires. So the button stays. In fact, I'm going to stand up and go run around the block for 6 hours. And come back and hope she's left. That's it. That's it. Believe me, that is it. Now, you know what happens right there, gentlemen? You're being honest with yourself. Overwhelming desire, you have it. You're being honest with God, you're being honest with her. And you know what you're saying to that girl? You're saying you're special. You're more important than I am. I'm going to shelve my desires as strong as they are because I want to honor you. You know what you've just done? Agape, real love. If you have that working in your relationship, then you better think about getting married. Because then it can work. Any guy that lays a line on a gal that if you love me, you will have sex with me is trying to use an Eros manipulation. That's all it is. And it's wrong. You'll never help her that way. But ladies, if you have a guy like that, a guy who's willing to be honest about his desires and the temptation, the drive that he has, he's real honest about it, and he looks at you and he says, I'm sorry that I've even gotten this far. I apologize. We'll go back to square one, and we're going to stay at square one, and you're special, and I want to live right before you. You better think about hooking on to that dude. There aren't a whole lot of them around. See the reality? I hope you do. See, because we get fluffy as Christians or something. Either we try to deny we have the desires, which is foolhardy, because usually the person that denies the desires is the one that I end up talking to because he's got his girlfriend pregnant. You deny the desires, and that's stupidity. If you deny the desires, by the way, you don't tap into the Spirit of God. But if you're willing, at that moment of temptation, when you've had a good friendship relationship, to say, Lord, oh, you got to help me. Lord, let me honor this gal. And the Holy Spirit's going to be the one who's also telling you that Jesus is present in the course of the relationship. Jesus is there. Agape love, it sanctifies Eros love. It sanctifies it. You know what happens? Let me compare agape and Eros for you. Once you've gotten to agape, and this is where you need to be as a couple, here's what happens. Agape is giving. It's I'm more concerned about my wife, girlfriend, date, whatever. I am more concerned about that person than I am myself. I recognize my tendency to be self-centered, self-serving. I recognize that. I know that it's wrong. I know it's not in the best interest of either of us. I know it doesn't honor God. So therefore, I make a decision. I decide I want to live according to agape love. I'm going to hold that person up as special, honorable before God. That's what I am going to do. And I set out to do it. When you get into a relationship in marriage where you want to love that other person for their benefit, you suddenly begin to forget about yourself and your own needs. You know what happens? You get the cycle of love, real love. Why do we love God? Answer? Why do we love God? Because He first loved us. You know what happens? Gentlemen, ladies, you love that person. Agape love. They are built up in a relationship. Their self-esteem goes up. See, love is patient. You're patient with the person, and they appreciate that. No one's been patient with them. You're kind to them. You do nice things for them. You're never envious or boastful or proud. It means you don't sit there. You're not envious. It means that you don't sit there and say, hey, she's got a better job than I've got, and that bothers me, and you try and cut the person down. It's agape love. It's never boastful. In other words, she doesn't go around boasting, or you don't go around boasting about your accomplishments. It's not puffed up. It's not rude. They don't do crass things around you because they want to treat you as special. All 1 Corinthians 13, what love is. Love always thinks the best. But when you're around that person, they always think the greatest thing about you. They're always lifting you up. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs done. Agape love means that, all right, I offended you, and I say, I'm sorry I offended you. And I apologize, I know I was wrong. And you walk away. You bring that up again, that's not agape love. You don't keep a ledger. By the way, ladies, this is harder for you than it is for a man. Men can have fights. I mean, all out, 1 inch away from beating each other's heads in. I mean, I'm talking about, you have an all-out fight about something, and two guys square off and say, hey, man, this is it. Goes any further, I'm going to break your neck, and he said, I'm going to break your legs. And at that point, you say, well, we'll agree, we don't agree on this, right? It's profound. And you walk away, and the next time you see each other, hey, man, how you doing? You shake hands, and everything's fine. Now, with women, it's a lot different in this area of agape love. See, if you offended your date, she will remember it. 6 years from now, she'll remember the color of your tie, the suit you were wearing, the car you were driving, your license plate number. She'll never forget, so you're going to have to work with that. But guess what, men? If you find a gal, a young woman, loves Jesus Christ and she's growing, and you offend her, which you will, and if you marry her, you'll do it a lot more. Believe me, you will. If you find that she's willing to turn around, and although it's hard for her, she keeps taking that eraser out and saying, forget what he did. Forget it. And she'll do that. You've got the prospect of an agape marriage. Man, which is tremendous. Just tremendous. You ought to go through as an exercise, if you want to really check out whether or not you're progressing to agape love, why don't you just go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in that passage, what love is. And here's what you do. And I've challenged married couples to do this, and I think it really helps. Put your name in first. John is patient. I always get stuck right there. I get nailed. John is patient. John is kind. John does not envy. He's not boastful. John is not proud. John is not haughty. John is not selfish. John is not rude. It's very convicting. Why don't you analyze yourself first? Keep in mind it's always important to be the right partner rather than find the right partner. You start with who you are and what you can offer. That's agape love, see. I'm offering. So I want to improve what I have to offer to another person. Because I'm going to give them 100% if it's agape love. But then go in, if you have a significant relationship and you're wondering about whether or not it's Eros or Philea, then you put in that other person's name. And you say, hey, Joan is patient. Joan is kind. Put in the prospective partner's name. And if you find that, hey, there's a lot of growth and development there. Hey, you have not arrived, but you see it progressing. If you see that progress, you're on the right path. But if it says agape love is not self-serving, and all he wants to do or she wants to do is get into Eros, then you got to stop and say, hey, we don't have the foundation for the relationship. One final thought as we close on emotions and love. This is the tough area. I believe emotions can lead you in the wrong direction. Ladies, especially, you tend to be, I think, more emotional than a man, again, by the way you're made. And that's wonderful. That's one of the reasons men are attracted to women, the emotional component. But it's easier, I think, for you, because of those deep feelings and emotions, to make a decision that's not a good one. Gentlemen, on the other hand, we can get rather cold, staid, when a woman is looking for some feeling. I think if you're making the decision to agape with another person, to have an agape relationship, and you constantly are kind and all these things, you'll have the emotions follow the way they should. But begin with the actions. Then the emotions will follow, and they'll be acceptable. They'll be profitable. They'll be enjoyable. You'll have the feelings. You'll have the desires. As I share with you, I've become a father. I hate to admit this, but as a father, you don't really contribute a whole lot to the situation. My wife, for 9 months, carried our little boy in her stomach, and they had one incredible relationship that I was not really a party to. I mean, I was. I'd hold her, you know, hand on her belly, and the little guy would kick and say, hey, that's my boy, and then hope it's a boy. You're going to play football, you know. You know, look out on NFL. Here's your next kicker. And okay, but it's really different for a guy. Because, see, there's a relationship there where my wife has an agape given her body to that baby. I mean, the baby's growing inside, and it's amazing. And it's exciting to be as much a part as I could be. But I want to admit something to you that I hope you'll admit to yourself. When my child arrived, my son, I didn't have a whole lot of, at birth, when he was first born, but I didn't have a flood of emotions. I didn't wake up every day and say, oh, isn't it great to have a little kid, and I picked him up, and I didn't do that. In fact, we hardly ever slept at night because of that little kid. And, you know, it was just, it was horrible. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. There's no way to describe it. And I wasn't the least bit excited at that moment about being a dad. Now, if I was into, you know, give and take with this little guy, there was nothing coming back except hassles. But see, I'm to love him and give of myself. And that's what I keep doing. Lord, help me to be what I have to be. It's driving me crazy. But let me love this little guy. Oh, and now? Now you want to talk about feelings? I can't. That little guy's running around soccer field, man. He looks over. Hey, Dad, you see that kick? That's my boy. I copy that kid right to the goal, man. Little guy running around. I'm telling you, but it follows. You make a decision to love the way God says to love. I would just like to encourage you to look at where you are on that path between eros, philia, and agape. It's hard to get to that agape love. If you get there, oh, really pray about the relationship. If we have agape working both ways, you've got something that ought to last. I'd love to see it last. And I'd love to see the two of you enjoy agape love forever. That's the challenge. God knows what he's doing. And that's the kind of love relationship he wants you to have. Shall we pray? Father, we hurt ourselves when we don't love the way that we should. It's ironic, Lord, that when we take for ourselves and don't give, that ultimately we suffer. And it's in giving, though, as you have told us, it's in giving that we really receive. It's in giving totally of ourselves in agape love that we receive love in return. And it's overwhelmingly wonderful. Father, I pray for my friends here, who have a lot of pressures on them because of the way our society and culture is, that you would challenge them today through the power of the Spirit of God within, that they may live for you, that you might be Lord. That as they live for you, they will look forward to an agape relationship with someone very special, as you have ordained. We pray in Jesus' name.